you have any ideas for what we could talk about today?
Yeah, I figured we would talk about Judd Heathcote passing and our stealing his newspaper that time, and then
I thought about that too. That was the first thing I thought of.
And maybe it'll lead us into our first conversation about the our big 50th trip.
Judd. They just said Judd.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question I got for you.
All right.
So have you ever bought a demo album, like a collection of demos? Was there ever an album that you had that you loved so much when you saw that you could get a demo?
Yeah.
You got that?
The only ones that I did were kind of like the big ticket, like where I was really into kind of like the full career. So for when we were in college, The Who released an album of demos from over the course of their career called Two's Message. And I bought that. And I think it seems like maybe there's a, well, I guess you would consider that Springsteen. Aren't there some demos on that? No, I guess it's all live. Of course, it's a live.
Yeah, the live.
Yeah, no, those are all live things. So not that. He did come out with something called Tracks, but I didn't actually purchase it. Somebody copied it for me, but made a cassette of it for me. But no, I guess that's the only demo album I ever bought. What about you? What demos have you ever bought?
I think the only one I could ever remember buying was for the album Hunting High and Low by A-ha. They released a demo for that album. And, yeah.
That's pretty audacious in the same way.
Well, but that was a big hit album. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they had a big hit song and stuff, but, and it, they didn't make, you know, a big deal about it either. But I think what struck me at like comparing that to say this thing from Head and Heart is that, I mean, it sounded like a demo.
Yeah.
You know, it's like keyboards and somebody singing.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
To lay out the songs. And the lyrics are different. And you know what I mean? It's just very different sounding.
Yeah.
But.
Right. Yeah. As opposed to like this, or at least the one song that I listened to. Yeah. As opposed to like, it's really kind of like, its own album.
It sounds like fully flushed.
I get it. I guess I'm getting demos and B-sides a little mixed up, but it seems like the 10,000 Maniacs might have had a demos album too. But maybe that was like B-sides and stuff that didn't make albums.
Yeah, the one I was thinking of, and I don't know if it counts or not, is the Smiths. Yeah, they did that. I just blanked on the name of it. Louder Than Bombs.
Yeah.
And I think that might be B-sides, didn't make the, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Huh?
Is that right? That's one of the few Smiths albums I actually had, and I didn't realize. I thought it was just like their major release for that year.
Well, and that's what makes it so odd, right? Because I've known people who that's the only Smiths album they ever had.
I think that might be like one of one or two that I ever bought.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty, you know, coherent full album for
For like stuff for B-sides and stuff that didn't make it. Yeah,
REM had an album of, in fact, I think it was a double album of like B-side type stuff and maybe some demos, but it had
I had that one.
Remember that they had a bunch of covers, and that's what introduced me to Lou Reed, because they covered and Velvet Underground was because they covered a couple of his songs. And the only thing I knew about Lou Reed up until then was he was on a motorcycle commercial when we were in high school. They used remember that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And they used whatever that, you know.
Walk on the Wild Side.
Walk on the Wild Side. They used part of Walk on the Wild Side. But I'd never heard, and I always, you know, that commercial was cool and hip at the time. And And then REM came out with that B-sides. And I actually kind of got into Lou Reed and Velvet Underground for a little while because of that REM.
Aren't you cool?
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I could just never, the Velvet was something I never could connect with for some reason.
I was shocked when I first listened to them that they were, based on that what I'd heard off those demos, I expected them to be something very different. I thought they would be more sort of like, maybe kind of like jazz fusion and that sort of thing. And it turned out they were pretty much a straight, like, garage rock band.
Sure, oh yeah.
Very, you know, kind of like early Elvis Costello type sound.
I did the classic, you know, I own Nico and the Velvet Underground, which everybody should own at some point in their life, I think, and listen to it a bunch, but that was as far as I went with the Velvet Underground.
Nico, didn't Nico date Jackson Brown? Isn't that right? Wasn't Jackson Brown? I think Jackson Brown was writing songs for her.
I don't know.
I think that's true, which is, yeah, I think that's the deal. Oh, music. I heard last night we went over to some friend's house and I heard all these, they had on like through their television, I don't know what kind of TV service they have, but anyway, they had one of the, you know, music service stations playing through their TV, and they had like a 90s hits or 90s deep cuts or something like that on. Yeah. And but it was kind of like the, anyway, it was fun. I heard a song by the Counting Crows that I had not heard in some time. And then I heard, it was all this like early 90s music to me, which still feels like modern music like that.
Sure. Because
by that point, yeah, you know, we're already in jobs and stuff like that. And that seemed like it was almost a little young for me by that point, because I was already out of school and whatnot. And it's just odd to think that's all like 25 years old now.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know. Heard
Spiderwebs. Spiderwebs by No Doubt.
Oh yeah, there you go.
That was a really good song.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a really good song. I came home and looked that up. That and they also had on Sean.
You were
Cole.
Into that band, weren't you? That Luscious Jackson.
Yeah, I really liked Luscious Jackson. I did not much care for No Doubt. But then I heard it again last night, and I thought, oh, this is better than what I thought it was at the time. You know, I like it now more than I did then.
No Doubt was very good at making individual songs that were really good, but never a coherent album, I didn't think.
Yeah.
But
man, I didn't think about Luscious Jackson. That makes me want to get that album. I think I still got that CD.
Well, you were into Luscious Jackson, The Replacements, it seems like, around the same time. So
Yeah. Yeah, you were veering more into, you were being more open to pop music. You were listening to, like, I think of you in that time, well, you were really into Everything But the Girl, but
Jewel had the big album out around that time.
And, yeah, that was kind of somewhere in between you and me. You were into some stuff like, almost like some dance artists too. Bedingfield, something like that. Natasha.
Natasha Bedingfield and, yeah, no, I was in all those 90s female.
Some woman named Curtis.
Katie Curtis.
Katie Curtis, yeah.
She's good.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that was that long ago, but yeah.
I know, it is hard to believe that long ago.
Speaking of long ago.
Yes?
So I was thinking about this yesterday when I read about Judd Heathcote, that was 1992.
Yeah.
When we stole his newspaper.
Yeah.
So how many years ago is that?
So we're talking 25 years?
Yeah.
25 years. So Matthew and I, yeah, we went on this camping trip.
We drove around Lake Superior.
I think we did all KOAs. Seems like it.
Yeah. Maybe. When we camped, yeah.
It was campgrounds. And, yeah, we went in and it was a Sunday. We were up there at Michigan State and, it was raining and we pulled up to the basketball gym, and there was a, a rolled up newspaper that said Judd on the outside, and we stole it.
It's about as wild as we get. So
about as wild as we ever got.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually still I feel a little bit guilty about that. Poor guy. That was a great trip, though.
Yeah. I just remember the mosquitoes.
The mosquitoes were intense.
We saw the home of Winnie the Pooh.
That's right. I forgot about that.
We stayed in Wawa, Canada, where the children were out playing marbles in the park.
God, about the marbles, kids. You're right. Yeah, it seemed like, it was like we were going back in time.
And every small town in Canada had those hockey rinks, which was really cool, too.
That was really cool. And they were probably curling rinks, too, but I wasn't dialed in.
We weren't hip to that back then.
Right. Yeah. And then I remember, I'm pretty sure this is true, in Wawa, I think, there was a Wawa market. Like, maybe that's where it started, that Wawa chain.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Maybe not. But I remember being in Wawa.
Yeah.
And then you married someone who talked about Wawa all the time.
Wawa, Pennsylvania is where, is where that comes from.
I guess I just always thought of there was probably some convenience store we went into, and I thought that was the original store. I remember we went into, I'll tell you another thing. I remember we went in, I guess this was in Bemidji, Minnesota, but we went into some bar. And I remember we got like, it was totally like, it wasn't like some dive or anything. It was like some family restaurant that just happened to serve beer. I shouldn't call it a bar. But we went in and got a pizza, and I'm pretty sure we each got a beer. But I remember that was like a very grown up feeling to me.
Maybe it was in Wawa, one of those places we ate at like a buffet, it seems like. But maybe I'm thinking wrong. I don't know. You know, something just happened here in Moscow, which kind of blew my mind. The Chinese buffet in town closed.
That is wild.
I know.
The only one?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's hard to believe, right?
Huh. I just met a guy from China this morning who has been living in Madisonville for 25 years. He runs the metal recycling place.
Huh. This is something I want to talk about sometime on the podcast, by the way. It's the future of recycling.
Yeah, right.
We have to have that conversation at some point. Have you been reading about all the problems with recycling?
I know there's all kinds of problems, like that the math can't get straight.
Right. Well, now they're dropping things. Like here in Moscow, they've dropped glass.
Yeah, we can't recycle glass in Moscow. Because I can't get the buyers.
It's crazy, because glass is the first thing you think of as being the first thing that people recycled.
You see, we're already past it. We haven't been able to recycle glass for like a year and a half. So to me,
same here. Yeah.
You know? But now it's changed our buying habits. So now we hardly buy anything in glass. You know, we just buy
all glass now. That's the that's the route we took. Just to be obstinate.
Yeah.
No, that's what the article I was reading. They were saying it's cheaper to make glass from raw materials at this point than to use recycled glass. And the main thing they're using recycled glass for is like an asphalt, stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know. I just find the whole thing strange because I know you take recycling very seriously. Yeah, it's something that you always have. You've always, ever since we had that talk about you throwing stuff out the car window, you've always taken recycling seriously since you've been an adult. And
I've always done it wherever I live.
Yeah. And I think I've kind of wondered, you know, I don't know. It's interesting to me, this idea that recycling could be a thing that actually goes away.
Yeah, could be.
You know?
Yeah, it could very well be. Well, look, you know, if there was you know, if you've got like some kind of like fairly big star who comes out on public service announcement and tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. Whatever it is, you know, whether it's recycling or take up the metric system or, you know, volunteer for the United Way, whatever it takes.
Like what level star does it have to be?
Like it could be pretty deep. Like it could be like, you know, Sam the Butcher. You know, it wouldn't even necessarily have to be one of
really?
The
Really?
Sam the Butcher. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. You know? See, I was thinking like George Clooney level.
Oh no. No, I'm listening to all of it. And so
Rhoda's yeah. Kid. The guy who played Rhoda's Kid on Rhoda.
Whatever the kind of like consensus intelligence is at the time, I tend to follow under, you know, unless I, you know, like spend some really time thinking about it and decide to make a break. By and large, I'm going to go with wherever the consensus, conventional wisdom is telling me to go. So yeah, I guess I've always done it. I've also just always sort of enjoyed it. I've always sort of enjoyed the.
No, that was my impression. You enjoyed the organizing yeah, and the sort of getting it together and.
Sorting. We're yeah. all single stream. I couldn't believe it though. Then we moved to Madisonville, and it's for a little town, 20,000 people. We've got single stream curbside. We pretty much have ever since we moved. I think they introduced curbside right after we moved here.
We just went to single stream. Yeah. They had Graham, North Carolina is the best I've ever lived at.
Mm-hmm.
They recycled everything. You threw it in one giant container, and you know.
Yeah.
I guess that single stream. Yeah. And, but they did everything. The other great thing about Graham was if you had a couch you wanted to get rid of,
mm-hmm.
All you had to do was let them know. And on Mondays, they did special garbage pickup day.
Yeah.
And they come by and pick out whatever you put out there. So
they do that. They do that in Madisonville and we don't even have to call.
That's nice. Yeah. They don't do anything like that here. In fact, here you have to pay for the size trash can you get.
Yeah.
Right. So if you want a larger can, you pay more. And then if you have stuff that overflows the can,
mm-hmm.
you know, they charge you extra for that.
Right.
And my favorite part is they take a picture of it, you know, for their records. I just keep thinking, wouldn't it save them money just to give everybody one size can and just kind of go from there?
And not do the pictures?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well,
there's no way the $6 I'm paying for going over the size of the can is going to average out.
Yeah. Here they do garbage pickup once a week and then recycling pickup. And I'm calling it single stream. I think that's what it means too, which is just you can dump everything into the right. same bin, but they have the same size bin for recycling, but they only pick it up once every 2 weeks.
That's the way we do here. Yeah.
It's on the same day. But I've been told I understand that like once they reach a tipping point where they're actually collecting more recycling than they are stuff for the landfill, then they're going to reverse the schedule and pick up the recycling. Mm-hmm. And so they do that. And then, yeah, you just put out whatever you want to, junk wise next to the thing. And I don't know why we don't get charged for that, because if we do need a second, like trash bin, you do have to pay for that. But as a one-off thing, yeah, they just come along and pick it up. And we have a lot of, you know, kind of like people who scrounge. They go by, they know the pickup dates, and
sure, they look for stuff. Yeah.
One to two people come around and pick up stuff. They know that you're setting stuff up that night. So, but yeah, it's pretty convenient.
No, it's great. I think Louisville was the first place I knew of, and I don't know if they still do this, but Louisville was the first place I knew of that was doing kind of the single stream.
Yeah.
And they had even gotten to the, at the time, so this was around mid-90s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They were, well, around 93. They were doing this thing that if they saw recyclable materials in your regular garbage, then you would get hit for that.
You get penalized.
Right.
Yeah.
They'd add a fee on for that.
Yeah.
It's not like they pick through your garbage, but you know, if it was something obvious. Right. But it did put a lot of pressure on people to, I mean, their whole thing was, look, we provided you two giant trash cans, like
right.
one for all recycle period, everything. And the other for all your, you know, stuff to go to the dump. And I thought that kind of made sense at the time.
It makes sense, you know? But by the same token, I'll bet what it did was the people that were really against it, it just really fired them up, and then they probably voted all those people out. And now
that's probably true.
Rolled back.
Now they don't do any recycling.
Yeah, exactly.
They just burn all the garbage in the street.
Set everything on fire right. In the town square. Along with all the books from the library. A friend of mine in college, his idea for like landfills and stuff like that was he thought, okay, if we're trying to, you know, and at that time there was a lot of talk about disarmament. If we're trying to do disarmament and we're having a problem with landfills being crowded, he thought that what we should do is like send missiles with the garbage into space toward the sun and just have them fire at the sun and eventually burn up towards the
sun. Can you imagine what our garbage bills would be if we had to pay for a rocket that could take the tonnage of garbage into space?
He was dead serious about it. He was like, why wouldn't this work? And I mean, you know, truthfully, I didn't really kind of have a good argument against it. It was just really.
Well, there's a couple that has thrown down a challenge, Eric.
Okay.
To us for our road trip.
No.
On the front of USA Today right now, there is a headline, couple finishes quest to visit every Cracker Barrel.
Every Cracker Barrel. Actually, if you look at the HP Twitter feed today, I think that's still our top story.
Oh, the couple doing the
HP people, or the Cracker Barrel people. Yeah. This is their live stream.
That's, that's a cause.
It's fine. It's fine if that's what they like.
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of neat. I mean,
I do too. What chain would you go to all of them? Would you just enjoy going to all of them?
That's a good question. Dairy Queen.
Yeah?
Because they're a little different. Every town's Dairy Queen is a little different.
Yeah, that's a lightweight franchise model. Yeah, exactly. They are a little different. I had in a Dairy Queen in Eddyville, Lyon County. I ate in a Dairy Queen just on Saturday, and I had a turkey BLT sandwich on ciabatta bread, and it was fantastic.
Dad was excited a few years ago because the Dairy Queen in Marion had made the recipe for that month's Blizzard of the Month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So apparently, I guess the stores can come up with their own blizzards and submit them.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool, too.
Yeah.
I thought that was great that they let the local stores come up with their own blizzards and submit them and stuff.
I do. You know, one of the things I really like, I love Dairy Queen as well. One of the things I really, there's so much, like, Dairy Queen behavior that I find interesting. One of the things is, so I was with this friend of mine on Saturday, and he had ordered a blizzard, and I got a sandwich. I hadn't had lunch yet, and so I wanted a sandwich.
But you got a blizzard too, right?
No, I didn't get a blizzard.
That's
crazy. I know. It's hard to believe. But in
Peanut Buster
event,
Parfait?
No, I didn't get any ice cream.
Dilly Bar? Nothing.
Nothing. And, but he got a blizzard. And what I like was, is the kid who was, so the kid, there was a kid bringing it out because we had placed our order and then we went back and sat down in a booth. And the kid is carrying it out. And then, like, I intercepted him in the dining area. Like, I had already started up to go get the food because I could hear that they were done. I didn't know he was going to carry it. And then when I got, and I took the tray out of his hand, and the kid reached onto the tray and got the guy's blizzard. And turned it upside
down. That's right.
Yeah. To show me that you could still. And I thought that was interesting that, you know, even though I'd taken the tray from him, he still had to do it. You know?
Did you think that he was going to throw it on the floor because he was angry at you?
I did pretty quickly realize what he was doing. But
I don't know when they started that because I don't remember that always being the case.
Oh, it was. I know that the first blizzard I ever got, I remember that.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it has, but I just don't remember.
The first blizzard, what was your first? Do you remember your first blizzard?
No, I know my favorite Blizzard, and you can't get them anymore. At least that's what I've been told by the Dairy Queen here in Pullman. That's the chocolate-covered cherry Blizzard.
Yeah, I haven't seen those for a long time.
Oh, they've taken them off for a long time, but used to you could order it, and they'd still make them for you. But
yeah,
it's one of those off-the-menu items.
Yeah, there's those covert Blizzards, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite for a long time, it's not on the menu anymore in Madisonville, is the Hawaiian. And it's
never seen that one.
Coconut, pineapple, and macadamia nut.
Well, that would be a tough one to maintain if you know, for the chocolate covered cherry, they always had the chocolate and the cherries, so.
Sure. It's a big deal. I can't believe they can't make that for you. That's ridiculous.
I wondered if that meant they changed the kind of chocolate or the kind of cherries they're using. Or something on it. Or maybe they just are being obstinate. Yeah, that's like, I was in Subway one day and I was talking to the guy. He's our age.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the way they used to cut the Subway bread.
Yeah.
As compared to the way they cut the Subway bread now.
Okay. Tell me the difference.
So it used to be on the original Subway, they would cut the bread at like a triangle shape.
Okay.
So the bun had kind of a wedge to it.
Yes, you're right. They did.
They would put that piece back on top. And he told me, he said, oh, yeah. He's like, you know, if you want that, I can still cut it for you that way. He said, but it'd have to be me working. Like, nobody else knows how to do that. But I don't understand why they changed that. Like, that was perfect.
Hold your sandwich together.
Well, he said essentially the reason they changed it was because it was harder. You know,
well, sure, it's an extra cut, right?
Well, and they'd lose a lot of bread that way because people would mess it up, and then they have to throw that one away and start with a new one.
That makes sense. I mean, I can see that. I could see that why you would get away from it, but it was nice.
It worked so much better.
It worked so much better. Yeah. No, that's exactly right.
So, have you ever tried a McFlurry?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, they're good. They're okay.
The Rolo McFlurry, which they do like once a year or so, is excellent.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
I like Rolo. I'm sure that is good.
I'm a huge Rolo's fan, but I love the Rolo McFlurry. So.
Yeah. I always, the first Blizzard I ever got was a Butterfinger Blizzard, and I got it in, it was that summer that when we were still in high school that I went away to Western.
Oh, okay.
And speaking of like events that make you feel grown up. So a friend of mine that I'd met that summer he lived in, he went to Caverna High School in Horse Cave. And, he had a car. I didn't have a car that summer. And, in fact, I didn't even have a driver's license yet. But anyway, I rode with him back up to he took me up to his house. We had to move some furniture up to his house and like on the weekend. And then he took me to the Dairy Queen and his girlfriend was working in the Dairy Queen, working in the drive-thru window. And so we went through and he told me about these Blizzards and he's explaining them to me. And he like couldn't get enough of them. You know, he loved going to that Dairy Queen to visit his girlfriend, but also he just like so got into these Blizzards and he was just getting them all the time. And he took me in there, and then she reached out with those things, and I put that Butterfinger Blizzard in my mouth, and I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, this changes everything. I mean, it was so good. You know, and it was Kentucky in the summer, southern Kentucky.
Sure.
It was so hot. It was blazing sun, and it was so hot. And then to be in this drive-thru, and we were in he drove a Toyota Camry, and he was listening to, he had on Depeche Mode in the car. Okay.
That's so funny.
Depeche Mode, a Toyota, you know, Camry, Depeche Mode, and Blizzards. And I just felt like, you know, you want to talk about being too cool. You think that Velvet Underground thing made me feel cool?
That's right. Well, not only that, you're riding around and you go visit this guy's girlfriend who's working in the store.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it was huge.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool. You know, it's funny about Depeche Mode, though. I was thinking about doing Depeche Mode as the play-in music and play-out music just because I know how much you dislike Depeche Mode. Like, I thought about people or whatever that song is, just so it would get you all cringed up, you know. Like,
Yeah. You know, when I'm proud of that song. I kind of like it now. Every time I hear it, I'm like, oh. I think about that guy. That guy now Well, his name. Do you remember me talking about a guy named Bart Fleener?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that name, but he's like now. Gosh, he's been really successful in like school basketball. He like has coached basketball teams to the state tournament, and
oh, that's cool.
It is really cool. He was the women's basketball coach at Asbury College, and then he coached at Murray High, their boys team. And anyway, he's been, now I forget what he's done. He's like a superintendent of some school system.
Wow.
Anyway, he's done really well. Yeah. But yeah, he introduced. So yeah, it was in his car that I had my first ever Blizzard.
I remember my first meatball sandwich. That I do remember.
Where now? Where was that?
In Nashville. We had gone down to look at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And we were walking around the neighborhood looking for some place to eat. And there was like a little restaurant, little place. And yeah, we went in there and ate. And they had, I got a meatball sub. It was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
It was so good.
Good food, like that sort of like first experience with a new good food. I mean, they're meaningful. Those are meaningful.
Yeah, no.
Remember. I don't even know if we're supposed to name her or not, but your wife and I, remember the time that your wife and I had that ice cream?
Oh, the coconut ice cream.
Coconut ice cream in Philadelphia. Oh my god,
Margaret. I mean, I can still remember that sometime. Flavor.
I can still remember that flavor. Oh, I love that sometimes salad. And I have not, I've had plenty of sometimes salad since then, but never as good as that one. I think that night, it was just there was something up with that night.
Yeah, that place was really good.
I remember the sport coat you wore to
that. That place was really good. They, you know, we lived by that place for a long time and never went there. And then the people who catered our wedding asked us about if we had eaten there. We said no. And they said, oh, you got to go. It's really good. Yeah, you know, they knew the people that ran it and everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, that place was great. I miss that kind of food.
Your apartment and when you two got together, when you guys got married, your apartment was so great.
Yeah, it was a good location. That was a great place. We were lucky.
It was a great place. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to visit you guys there. I remember your bookshelves in your living room. Yeah. That was so nice. The embedded bookshelves.
Yeah, yeah. The little sunroom. Our lady was a little crazy, but you know.
Yeah, but you did fine with her. They, yeah. And there was a time, like, when I would come to visit you all, I would feel like it felt like you were in a whole new adult world that, in which you were. You were in a whole new adult world to which I hadn't yet, you know.
Well, you were too, though. You were roaming the country at that point.
I was roaming the country, but yeah, I was doing something different than, yeah, but like when I visited you in that apartment.
You were like
I
that guy in Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
I don't remember that.
You've never seen that movie?
I've seen it, but I'll tell you what, that movie was not my speed.
Yeah, really, he's living out of his car.
Yeah.
Staying with friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, I gotta get back to work.
Well, this was fun. This turned into, I actually really enjoyed this podcast.
You usually don't.
No, I mean, I always do, but we usually like are more.
We've got a topic or something. Yeah, we didn't much talk
exactly
about it.
Today we just kind of, but I really like the.
The news is so depressing right now. It's hard to.
It is.
It's hard to focus on much of anything.
Yeah, it is depressing. All right. Well, have a good, good day at work.
Oh yeah, you too.
Okay.
First day of school here, by the way,
for
the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Fantastic.
Hi.
We're having a little school drama right now, but I'll talk to you about that later.
Okay. Right. I'll talk to you later. Bye.